Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome to Blog Talk. Chaplain John Durden has the mic for 2 hours. He's going to be teaching on the Holy Spirit. There'll be no question and answer. You now have the mic, Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Chaplain John Durden, better known as Brother John. It's a pleasure being with you this evening. And hope you enjoy the sharing tonight. I had several ideas what I wanted to teach on. Like, well, one is on the Holy Spirit, and one is the demonic spirits and deliverance ministry, and the two judgments, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. And so up until about 10 minutes ago, I thought I was going to be teaching on the great white throne judgment. I'm going to do that Tuesday. You have two major judgments facing us. That's the great white throne judgment. That's the one for sinners, and the judgment seat of Christ. That's for the righteous. And by the time I get through that teaching, I hope you can know the difference. When somebody says, hey, you going for the white throne judgment or the great white, Jesus, man, you go, oh, Lord, that's the throne for all sinners. But I'll be teaching on that Tuesday, the great white throne of Jesus. Okay, but before I do, those who don't know me, I'm John, Brother John Durden. I have three master's degrees. One is in human resources, which means personnel administration. That's what they call it nowadays, human resources, where I majored and got a master's in personnel administration. As a result of those degrees, I was a counselor, and I was a personnel director for 30 long years teaching that, and it was wonderful. I was a chaplain, and I was a theologian. I was a head of the deacon board, the whole nine yards. But primarily, when I finished school, I became a human resources director. I did that for 30 years. I hired people for 30 long years, making from $15,000 to $100,000 a year, 30 years. And when I retired at 56. And then the Lord called me to the ministry, and so there I was, sitting in the seminary classes with youth ages ranging from 21, 22, 23, 24, and had a few 30s. But here I was, a 57-year-old man sitting in class with all the youngest who were in their 20s, some in their 30s, maybe one or two in their 40s. But that's my background. I got three master's degrees, Christian counseling, theology, and human resources. With that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you now in the precious name of Jesus, giving you all the praise and the glory. Father God, I just want to say I love you, and I thank you for having me to share your word at this time and age. I thought I'd be enthralled as children, but Lord, I thank you. At least, if anything, you know I have the heart and the joy to minister to your people and to teach your word and share your word. I thank you for it. I thank you for the grace and mercy you've given me. Here I am, 80 years old, and I've never been sick a day in my life. I can't believe it. 80 years old, and I've never been in the hospital for any major thing. The only time I was in the hospital when I was 17 years old, when I broke my hand playing football. But other than that, from the time I was 17 to my present age, I've never been one day in the hospital, and I thank you, Lord. And I thank you. And I was wondering why you wanted me to stay this long, Lord, and I can see why, because you're not through with me yet. You have a purpose and a plan with me, because I now recall your word in Jeremiah 29:11. It said, don't you know I have a plan for your life, a plan not a calamity or problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope. And I was wondering what I was going to be doing after I retired from both jobs, one as a human resource director, another one as a chaplain. And so now I know you just want me to share the word, and I thank you for it, Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray that those that are listening tonight, you will bless them and honor their love for you. And I pray if there are any who are listening that don't know you, I pray that when this prayer is over and this session is over, they will know you personally. I love you, Father, and I know they love you too. And I thank you, thank you, thank you for my precious Redeemer, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I thank you. I'm going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit, as you well know, Father. And I give you thanks for that. Holy Spirit, since I'm talking about you, I pray that you would anoint me, give me the wisdom and the knowledge to speak nothing but the truth, nothing but the truth about your personality and what you like and dislike. I love you, Holy Spirit, and I thank you. And you know what else, Holy Spirit? I want to thank you for being my counselor, because Jesus, before he went back to be with his Father in heaven, he said, I will send someone just like you, speaking to you, Holy Spirit. He said, send somebody just like me. And in other words, I know you're a carbon copy of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your grace. And you're my counselor. And you know that, because every time I need to have a problem, I need an issue resolved, I always say, Holy Spirit, my counselor, thank you again. And I pray that you would minister to me tonight as I share the word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I'm not going to bombard you with a whole bunch of scriptures. I'm just going to share three that the Holy Spirit just gave me a few minutes ago. It comes from St. John, the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15, 16, and 17, and 26. Chapter 14, verses 15, 16, and 17 reads as follows. Chapter 14, verses 15, 16, and 17 talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. We know that's the Holy Spirit referred to as the comforter. And he will give you another comforter, because he's saying, you know I'm about to come back home, Dad. And he may abide with you forever. He says, I'm going, but I know you're going to, as you promised, you're going to send another comforter, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And then and he was saying to his apostles and all followers that the Holy Spirit would abide with us forever. In verse 17, it says this, even the Spirit of truth, you know, that's the Holy Spirit again, that's another name for him, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells within you, and he shall be in you. And he's talking to the Spirit-filled apostles and disciples of his. And we can know him too, because once we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then and only then do we receive him. Because you know the Bible says, our body is the temple of what? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But before I go on, the Lord wants me to remind you this. When we receive Christ and do the ministry that he's ordained for us to do, and live for him, mind, soul, and body, then we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the minute you decide you want to backslide and you want to fornicate, you want to commit adultery, you want to masturbate, you want to do all this lies, steal from the church, shoplifting, all that, then the Holy Spirit has vacated you. So don't walk around here blind telling me, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit praying for me. Holy Spirit does not. Holy Spirit stays in the temple of God. So your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, your body can't be the temple, like say a church of the Holy Spirit, if you go around there doing everything that the Bible says you should not do. Just remember that. I didn't have the mind to say that one, but that's what the Lord wanted me to say. He said, remember, who are truly Christians, body, soul, and spirit, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that advises you where to go, what to do when you're being tricked. He deal with all your issues and give you solution to your problems and all these other things. But if he's not there, then you're going on your mind. Let me see what I'm going to do. Let me see what I'm going to say. Let me see what I'm going to teach. Let me see what I'm going to preach. Let me see I'm. The Holy Spirit, no way around. Okay? So if by chance some of you have backslid or whatever, then I suggest secretly tell yourself, just talk to the Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. I ask you to come back into my life, Holy Spirit, because I want to be your temple for you to dwell in. I love you, Holy Spirit, and ask the Lord to forgive you all your sins. That's what I'm going to do right now, just in case I've backslid it, because we're not perfect in the Bible. We all don't know the Bible from A to Z perfect. We're still learning, and we're still teaching and sharing. So I want to say, Lord, I'm sorry for all the sins that I've committed, known and unknown. If I offended thee, I ask that you forgive me. In the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because I don't want one little piece of sin. I don't care if it's a little lying sin, an exaggerating sin. I know what you said in your word, that there's no big sin and there's no little sin. You might kill somebody, and somebody may tell a lie. Guess what? If they both died in the taxi cab going somewhere to a party and they both died, guess what? If they hadn't repented, they both would bust hell wide open. Hear what I say? A rapist, a murderer, and alive and be in the car and get killed in an automobile accident, all three gonna bust hell wide open if they did not confess their sins prior to their death. So remember that. Jesus said, tell y'all, there's no little sin and there's no big sin. There's no little sin and there's no big sin. Sin is sin in his eyes. So remember that. We thank you for your grace and mercy, Father. Now get on with the word. Oh, I'm sorry. There's one more he wants me to share with you. And that's, let's see, verse 26. Okay. Verse 26. Well, I don't want to go. I don't want to go back. No, I think I better. Acts 26. Okay, hold 1 second, folks. Hold 1 second. 14:26 says this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whosoever I have said unto you. Let me repeat that. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, this is Jesus speaking, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's no kidding, because the disciples came up with the Bible, the Word of God, everything else, and they were able to teach and preach the Word that God, the Holy Spirit, reminded them what Jesus said. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, before we can teach, before we can testify, before we can guide, before we can enlighten people, before we can minister to people, before we can intercede for people who we can just assist, we need to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit as well as God, okay? Because a lot of this stuff is not reliable when you try to use your head to try to use your degrees and everything else. Because, you know, man make mistakes. You look at police officers. You got the bad ones and you got the good ones. You got Bible scholars who teach in seminary. Stuff is right on, and the law says some of them is right off. Because they're teaching from their mind. They're teaching from their intellect. They didn't check with the Holy Spirit. If you come across a scripture or whatever and you don't know or quite understand what it's saying to you or interpreting, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you find yourself, he might be 10% off or maybe 100% off because our mind, like to jump in there and tell us what to do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's another thing the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you. Remember, when people are talking to you or when you're by yourself, you're always thinking. And at one point, if you don't remember this, you're lost. I want you to remember that everything you think of is not you, okay? Everything coming to your mind is not you. And you think because you're thinking, well, I'm thinking this. Man, I don't like that person. Why I hate that person so much? I don't know why I hate him so much. And so, why I'm thinking about shoplifting? Why I'm thinking about taking some money out the offering plate? Why I'm thinking about going to bed with that man? Why I'm thinking about going to bed with that woman? And why I'm always thinking of some lie I can tell the boss and impress him? That's because that's not you. Now, you got to remember, there are all kinds of things talking to you. Number one, the Holy Spirit is always talking to you, but you got to learn. That's what I'm going to talk on too about tonight, how you can hear the Holy Spirit. And then not only the Holy Spirit talking to you. And you know what? I used to think I had only time I can hear the Lord. John, you need to do this. John, you need to believe this. John, you need to go here. John. And I was thinking that's the way I could hear God. I hear the Holy Spirit. I hear Jesus. It don't work that way. Sometimes it does. But a lot of times he speaks to your mind, your thoughts. And you're thinking, well, I'm thinking I should go see this lady at the hospital. I don't know her that well, but yeah, we work together, but I don't know. That's the Holy Spirit telling you to do that, see? And you think because you're thinking it, you're telling, well, then you may reject it. Man, I got better things to do. I'll see her when she get back to work. I'll send her a note. Not knowing that the Holy Spirit said, you need to go see it. Because if you went there, if you was obedient to the calling, the Holy Spirit would tell you what to say to that woman. That woman might have gotten saved. You just know her as a good woman. Real nice, always helping people, but she might not necessarily be saved. And if you've been obedient to the visitation, then God probably would have gave you the words of the Holy Spirit to touch her, and she'd be looking at you like, how do you say that? Why you be talking? She'd be, how does woman know all this about me? How does woman know all this about me? And because you'd be talking to her, but you think you're just saying good things, but the Holy Spirit is telling you right on things that's crossing that lady's mind. She might have been thinking about committing suicide or whatever, you see. So, when you're thinking something, it could be the Holy Spirit. When you're thinking something, it could be Jesus. When you're thinking about something, it could be your flesh. It could be a demon. I could be the devil. I could be God. For you to know who's speaking, you have to know the word of God. So stay bearing the word. And just because you may tend to go to bed, are you getting up there and say, let me see what I'm doing. Oh, I know what I can do. I'm so-and-so. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go everywhere. No, stop. I say, Lord, I know you got a plan for my life. You said you have a purpose and plan for my life today. Give it to me. You know. So remember, just because you're thinking, all right, like some say, now who he think he is? He don't tell me what to do. I got a doctor's degree, and I'm going to call him and tell him that I'm monitoring him. Well, who's saying that? That's not you, sir or ma'am. That could be that evil spirit full of pride. Tell me, I'm going to get Mr. John scared. I'm going to get him worried. I'm going to let him know I'm the big shot. I'm going to let him know I'm listening to him. Let him know who he's talking to. Because I'm monitoring. That's what I'm doing. I'm monitoring. That's not you. That's a prideful spirit. I'm not saying the demon can be a prideful spirit to stand next to you, putting his thoughts in the head. Tell him who you are. He don't know you got these doctors. Tell him. Tell that John who you think he is. You know, these kinds of things. So monitor your thoughts. You have to remember, all your thoughts are not yours. And when God speaks to us, more likely, 80% of the time, he's speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. And you have to learn to hear and realize and recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, or when it's that stinking devil talking to you, talking about sex or shoplifting or whatever, or hurting someone. You're supposed to say, but I say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Get out of it. Get behind me. You know, especially when somebody wants you to lie for them, or you tempted to make a pass at somebody, your boss asks you, did you do something, and you lie right quick and then go straighten out after you're gone. I mean, all these things. Remember, when you do those, and then too, like I said, some of myself, self-preservation is the first law of nature. You all heard that one. And you're lying a minute. Did you do that? Yes, sir. Yes, I sure did. And then when you go, whoo, you break your neck trying to get it done right quick. So remember, every time a thought comes into your mind, it is not you. It's either the devil himself. You ought to kill that sucker. He backstabbed you. You know, like you got all these people shooting people. Like you rob a store or something like that, and the clerk give them everything they want, but they go and kill the person. You better go ahead and kill her because she probably be able to recognize you. And you don't want to go to jail for life, do you? Kill her. And you every time you look at you, some little innocent clerk behind a desk got shot. And after the lady or the man gave the burglar all the doggone money he can give him, and the guy turned around and still shooting dead. See, that's that spirit telling you better, because he'd be able to recognize you, you know. So you got to recognize your thoughts, who are speaking to you, okay? If it's sexual thoughts, you know it ain't you. You know it ain't you. It's your flesh. Your flesh, because I remember when I used to do all this. Now, you're not done reading this Bible now, and I used to enjoy all my different kinds of sex and perversions. I used to enjoy shoplifting. I used to enjoy doing this and that. And then you say, Lord, what I'm going to do? But remember, when those thoughts are offline and not in unison with the word of God, then you know it's not your personal thoughts, your brain talking to you. That's some demonic voice. It could be the flesh. Go to flesh. It's because when you get saved, remember when you first got saved, you still want to do this and do that. Sometimes you did. And you go, I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry. You know, kind of a thing. So, and then sometimes you make promises. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not do that no more. And then another thought come in a day is, well, after all, he know you're human. My God, child, you're not an angel up there. Ain't no harm in that. I mean, he know we flesh. If he wants to do it, he wouldn't give us this part. If he wants to do that, he wouldn't give us these things. You see, and ain't nothing but your flesh people talking to you, or the devil talking to you, or a demonic spirit that's been assigned to mess your life up where you be embarrassed, your reputation will be destroyed, and then you and I commit suicide. And then when you commit suicide, you think your problem over it isn't. Because I'm going to be for Jesus, and I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm tired of these people talking about me, and I'm tired of doing this, and you commit suicide. Well, let me tell you, God says suicide. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. So I'm committing suicide, you're killing yourself. Now, let me get on with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I didn't have that, you know, plan to say, but you have to do what the Holy Spirit says. And now I recognize that he speaks to us in our spiritual thoughts. His spirit communicating with our spirit, okay? Now, listen to what he says. And, you know, here I am, 80 years old, and just within the past 7 years, I've learned to hear the Holy Spirit and to recognize Jesus when he's talking to me. I still have a little problem with that sometimes because you know, I'm just asking him, say, I need to hear you fully and completely. When you speak, I want to know you. It's not what I want. It's you, not my mama telling me something way back in the old days. I want to know you because I recognize your voice. He done come say, Mary, this is my plan for you today. I want you to do something. No, he done, John, I want you to do this. John, I want you to go over here, visit this person. No. When those quiet, peaceful thoughts come into your mind, you go, why? And then you know what really make it suspicious? When he, most of the times, he has to do something that you get, oh, Lord, why do you want me to do that? I know that ain't you. You know, if I do what you say, I'm embarrass myself. My boss is going to fire me. That person going to take me the wrong way, and they're going to backstab me. The guy might knock the you-know-what out of me. And much as I like this one, if I know if I say this, she's going to say, oh, he after my pants. I'm getting out of here. He's crazy. He don't know. You and to help somebody, or you need to put a pride. So you got to remember, we have to hear the Holy Spirit, and we have to recognize his voice, because he's not going to sit down next to you like you and I are talking out here. Hey, so-and-so, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, it comes into your spirit. And that's how he talks to you. So don't think he will come sitting here next to you in your bedroom, sitting on the foot of the bed, go, hey, Jimmy, let me tell you something. Brother Carson, let me tell you something. You know, it don't work that way. Sometimes you might be reading the Bible and thoughts come into your mind. Are you in your car going to work or somewhere and some thoughts about, you need to go by and visit so-and-so. And then you say, I don't know why I'm thinking that. I got too many things to do. I'll check her out tomorrow sometime without knowing that person might have come contemplating suicide. And by you being there, the man realized that he was following the wrong thoughts. Okay? Now, 7 years ago when I was trying to really hear the Lord, I'm going to share with you, and this is what the Lord gave me, and I'm going to really tell you everything that the Holy Spirit does for us and everybody else, okay? This is what he said to me, and I want you to learn from it. I wasn't going to give you my little personal 2 minutes testimony about hearing his voice. I really wanted to hear him because I got tired of hearing it so my life. We have his written word. We have his written word. I heard that from the time I was 16 to the time I was, when did I get saved? 30s. And that's all I went on. We have, and so I was thinking, God don't speak to us nowadays. He don't spend the night with us. He don't come in our room, bedroom, or in the closet, wherever he speaks to us, or in the car. He speaks, only time he speaks to us when we say, Mary, John, this is Holy Spirit. How you doing today? I come to talk to you. There's some things I want to share with you. No. He comes through our thoughts and our mind. That's why we have to monitor our mind and stay in the word. So when the devil's talking to you, your flesh talking to you, when the Holy Spirit talking, you know who's talking to you. Okay? So this is what I picked up. This is about like 7 years ago. Because I got mad, you know, because all of her, we have is, man, please, get off my back. Now, I didn't know at the time. That was the Holy Spirit convicting me like that. Because every time I heard that, I get peed, folks. I really get peed. I said, no. It got to be more than that. No, God spoke to his disciples and his apostles. And he went on and he said, and I read the last verse in each one of those gospels, said, go and teach my word, preach, lay hands on the sick, and all this other kind of stuff. And all I have, we have this written word. That's not what I said. We have this in my spirit. This one accepted. But I needed proof. And then finally I asked the Lord, show me. And the Lord told me to go back home down in Savannah. And just so happened, the minister was my sister's church. I went to her house. She said, you? And she took me. And the minister sat me down and said, John, we still have it today. Yeah, we have his written word. Sure, he speaks us through his written words that the disciples wrote, you know, Peter and Paul. But he also still speaks to us too. But he doesn't sit down and go, hey, buddy, come here. I'm talking to you. No, he speaks to us through our thoughts, through our mind. But you got to learn to recognize when it's his voice and when it's the others. So 7 years ago, you have time to hear the Lord's voice for 27 years. And then back 7 years ago, I was trying to find a book to read. I went in my library, and I found this book on how to hear the voice of God. I said, what? You know, and that's what I was praying for. I said, what? So I grabbed the book, and I started reading it. Let me share with you. It's just a quick summary. And it was like a special note. There was a note written in the book, and something I wrote that I've forgotten because it's in my own handwriting. I look at it and say, I can't believe that I wrote this. I wrote this thing about 27 years ago. And this is what it says. It says, this is the Holy Spirit that gave me a letter when I was trying to hear his voice way back there when I was in my 30s, okay? And this is what it says. John, my son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. I do not shout over the daily turmoil sounds of the average household. My voice is not weak, John, but it is quiet and it's calm and it's severe. It takes complete surrender. Now listen to this, y'all. This is what he said to me. It takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear me. That surrender must be complete. And when I say complete, John, I'm talking about your soul, your body, and your spirit. So we know the soul is our mind, our thoughts. What do we believe, what we don't want to believe, these kinds of things. The body is how you treat your body. Shower, take care of it. Don't be smoking weed, using drugs, having sex, because you take on the spirit of that person. You be screwing a prostitute, a gay guy, a gay woman, whatever. Guess what? That spirit be transferred to you, and you don't even know it. And you find yourself, I don't know, I kind of like it. I like it, too. It's good. Not just a normal. That's good. You know, kind of thing. So the body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. The body is not the temple of a whoring spirit. The body is not the temple of a faggot, a queer spirit. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, not the lying spirit or the thieving spirit, okay? So he says, before you can hear my voice, John, you must surrender your soul, and I mean just love him and read the word, stay in the word, and know what the word says. Your soul is your mind. You clean or refresh your thoughts. As soon as that thought comes, like I do, you know, even though I'm saving anything, sometimes it's a thought coming to my mind that has no not right, or I can't break, I can say, I rebuke you, Satan, get thee behind me. You know, like I was in a grocery store the other day, and a woman, the cashier, she like she was in her 40s, and she said, you come here quite often. I said, I've been watching you, she watching me. And she said, you know what, I kind of like you, you're a good-looking man. I said, how can she like good-looking man? I'm an 80-year-old man. She realized she's talking to an 80-year-old man. And she said, you know what, I think we could be friends. What's your name again? I said, Brother John. Brother John. She said, why don't you come see me sometime? I live by myself. And I pretend I didn't hear, you know. She said, Mr. John? I go, yes. She said, don't forget now, I live by myself. Come see me sometime. Then I said, no, thank you, ma'am. I'm married. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. It's quite all right. You didn't know. I said, go in peace. I'll grab my groceries and walk on out the store, see? And all the time when she said, I live by myself, thoughts come flowing and say, she wants you, man. She desires you, man. And she ain't all that ugly. She likes you by enough for this, man. And the wife don't have to know, man. You get a good little piece and get your butt on home, man. She ain't got no, they don't have no children on, no, man. She said she live by herself. No, I mean, the thoughts is pounding. Even when I got in the car to take my groceries home, them thoughts come in. Why don't you go back, man, and get an address, man? You nobody have to know? No. You ain't going to tell on yourself, are you? And then I finally said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke you. Get thee behind me. And I said, I know this sound nasty to you, Satan, but ain't no woman vagina going to cause me to go to hell for the rest of my life. Do you hear me? I said, vagina, I used the word start with a P. I said, ain't no P going to cause my butt to be in hell for all eternity when I go stand for a judge. I know on my way, I screwed this woman. And then on my way home, adultery, I get killed on view. Actually, I get shot by accident. And then I got to go stand for the Lord. He said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. So he said, to hear me, it takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear me. The surrender must be complete, soul and body and spirit. In other words, you must think like a Christian. You must handle your body like a Christian, praising the Lord and everything else. And then you must surrender in spirit. In other words, give yourself to me totally. Say, Lord, I surrender all. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Lord, and I receive your advice. I receive your guidance, and I receive your word. And so I want my spirit, because I know that my spirit has been born again when I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I have a regenerated, born-again spirit, not that spirit when I hanky-panky and do all those things all the time. And I love you for it. And then he went on to say, I do not answer casual inquiries. It only those who are persistent and wanting to communicate with me, who hear my voice, not excitement seekers are stubborn fools. Let me say that again. He says, to hear me, he said, I do not answer casual inquiries. Hey, God, what's my name? God, where do I live? God, could you tell me where my this is, where my shoes are? Could you tell me? And he'd be testing, and God just took me here trying to see if we still speak today, not on those conditions. God don't fall for our trickery. Remind you, remember, he knows us. He says, I do not answer casual inquiries, John. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me, who hear my voice, not the excitement seekers, John, stubborns, John, not the fools, John, who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk. I don't fall into those games. You hear me when I want you to hear me. You hear me when you deserve to hear me. I don't let the ungodly hear me. I don't have nothing to say. The Holy Spirit might minister to them and try to tell them, say, that's wrong, that's sinful, you know, kind of a thing. And then he said this one. I think that's about it. Mm-hmm. He says, I do not shout over the daily sounds of Aaron's household. My voice is not weak, but it's quiet and calm and serene. And you can hear it if you follow what I'm trying to say to you right now. What I'm saying to you, it takes complete surrender on your part. And I mean complete surrender, body, soul, and spirit. And I already said what I mean by body, soul. Your mind should be thinking about the Lord and what you can do to help folks and how you can stay in the way of life. So you got to check out what your soul, your body is doing and what your spirit is saying and believing, okay? And he says, and don't be trying to check him out. Let me see if he speaks. Let me check him out. No, you don't that. No, he says, you have to really, really prove yourself to him. And then a couple of days later, then I said, you know what? Because the Lord wouldn't let me forget that. So I said, huh. So I felt led to go to the dining room table and kind of summarize what the Lord or the Holy Spirit shared with me, you know, a couple of nights before. And I just made four notes, and I want to share it with you. And boy, it has been a blessing. I have a little title on a piece of paper. My personal comments from the reading of the letter that God gave me 16, 17 years ago. Number one, I said this. God sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person. He's looking at our spirit. And not only he sees and evaluates our hearts, he found... Well, he said he looked at our spirit. Then he sincerely turned toward us in love, faith, and purity. In other words, we need to really look because he's checking our heart out. He wants us to love him more than anything else, to love him more than mama and daddy. God sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person. And his favor, y'all, rests on those whose hearts are sincerely what? Turned toward him in love, love him above all others. And faith, we have faith in who he is and who he say he is, and to follow him. And purity, keep ourselves purity. And no one had nothing but John. I got flesh. I'm human. Well, my problem was smoking. And I just couldn't stop. And finally, he spoke to me and said, you can't stop because you really wasn't serious. So I know you've been praying for me for years about helping you to quit smoking. But you really didn't mean it. You said, well, I quit. I don't want to smoke no more. I don't want to catch no cancer. I quit. And then I can take my cigarettes and all, throw it, press it down the toilet, throw it in the trash can, and I'll get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, get dressed, go to the store, buy a pack of cigarettes. I did that for 6, 7, 8 years. And I go, why you can't deliver me the Bible? So you can deliver. He says, because you're not sincere about your deliverance. You're just mouthing it. But in your heart, your flesh might want it because you know you might catch cancer. But in your spirit, in your heart, which I can discern, John, you really don't want to give it up. And that's like something you haven't been delivered. I go, wow, that's heavy. That's really heavy. So I say, okay. He said, you must surrender and love him with all your heart above your mama, above your dad, your wife, spouse, the children, everything else. You must love him. And if you really love him like he wants you, man, you'd be caring for your family, your children, even friends and families and folks and everything else. And you must have faith in him. And say pure. He says another thing to me. He said, John, moreover, God does not, yeah, well, I got it written down. See, I make it first person. He said, moreover, I do not prefer the love of fellowship, prayers of the educated, the more than the poor or the powerful or uneducated. What he's saying is, I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, I don't care how powerful you are, how prestigious you are, how educated you are, and where you live at, what kind of family you were raised in, the block you live on, you know. He said, that don't face me. He says, I accept all from every nation, poor, black, white, green, whatever, who fears me and do what I say. Who fears me. And when he said fears me, he said, I don't mean like the booger man. When I say fear me, it's sort of like your mom and your dad, you know darn well, if you do something and daddy found out about it, mama found out about it, you'll get yourself a good behind whipping. But he says, but not only that, there's a second reason why you should fear me. Not because you're scared you're going to go to hell, but the primary reason you should fear me is because you love me. And you don't want to hurt nobody you love. So if you're doing all those things, you really, your love for me having arise to where I want it. You wouldn't hurt your wife. You don't want to. You don't want to hurt your child. And you dead don't want to hurt your child. You know, somebody hit your child or beat on your child, you'd be ready to go ahead and kick some butts. But that's your child. You don't talk to my child. You'd be ready, sometimes you'd be ready to go to school and kick the teacher's butt. My child told me you hit her on her hand or so. You do that again, going to beat me and you from now on, sister. But you hear what I say? Or the boy's daddy be in there cussing that teacher out and everything else. Well, he wants us to love him so much that we get that we hurt him. Because we know we don't want to steal, get pregnant, rob a bank, because we know that once mom and dad find out, it'll hurt him. I mean, it really hurt him. Said, I trust you, sweetheart. I didn't raise you that way. I raised you, my son. Well, why are you doing this on me and your mama? Oh, why? Why? And you feel so bad. You feel like a dog because, you know, you hurt your mama, your daddy, your grandmama. But that's what love is. Love is Jesus so much that ain't no sucker on earth can make you do what you ain't got no business doing, what the word says. When they tell you, hey, I want just a little bit, go to hell. I'm sorry, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm sorry you read me wrong, man. I think you need to take yourself someplace else. I got a good idea how we can get some more money. How's that? No, man, you're talking about thievery. Get out of my face, you know? So we're supposed to love him so much, not by saying, you're scared of him, and he's going to send you to hell. That's not the kind of fear you're talking about. He's talking about the fear of hurting him because he shed his blood for you and me. Hurting him, that's what the fear means. The fear means, oh, Lord, he's going to kick my butt. Oh, he's going to send me to hell now. I can see him now. Go to hell, boy. You know, that kind of thing. No. When he said we should fear him, we fear him with respect to the word love, because the last thing you want to do is hurt your mom. She sent you to school. Had 2 or 3 jobs to send you through school. Daddy worked 2 or 3 jobs to send you so you can get that doctor degree or whatever degrees you got and everything else. And then you're going to go and do things that would hurt them after all they did for you? Please. Okay. So, and then the last thing I wrote, a person, I say, led by the Holy Spirit, say, once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus Christ, it is no longer business as usual. When you accept Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, then you're supposed to follow him and talk with him and talk with the Holy Spirit and walk with him. But remember, that's one of the hardest things for us to hear Jesus' voice and Holy Spirit's voice. Like my brother, when he talked to me, he said, John, at first I had a hard problem trying to figure out who's talking. I said, what do you mean? He said, sometimes the Lord Jesus is talking to me, and sometimes the Holy Spirit is talking to me. And I can't distinguish it, but I know it's them because it's right in the Word. And he reproved because when I do what he say, he tell me what will happen after I say what I say. Peter doing that just to show me that it's he that I'm listening to. He said, now, when you say this, this is going to happen. When you say that, and when you bless that person, this is going to happen. Sure enough, it's just, I say, okay, I'm going to check to see if it's you. And you do what that voice tell you to do, or that thought tell you to do, and it come to pass like that voice told you. And you knew that was the Holy Spirit, or that was Jesus. Kind of thing. So the last little paragraph I got, once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus, it is no longer business as usual. When I say no longer business, that means you follow him if death faces you. It means walking by faith, and includes opening oneself to the miracles and ministry of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In other words, when you solely turn yourself over to him, he tells you to do it, then you jump and do it. Anything else you want me to do, Holy Spirit? You don't question it because you know. But get to really knowing, because, like I said, sometimes the devil be talking to you. Sometimes it's the flesh. Let me tell you, the flesh. Hey, don't you remember? I'm human. I'm flesh, man. I'm no God of spirit. I'm not an angel. I'm flesh, man. I like to do this. I like to do them, and I like to do those kind of things. Okay. All right, now, let me get with the Holy Spirit now. Amen, amen. What time is it? I started at 7. He gave me 2 hours. 7, 8, 8 to 9. Okay. I guess I said everything about my education, excuse me, and my occupations and stuff like that, like counselor and work for the government. But I tell you how I got saved. That's just a two-minute thing. I just thought I was going to see it just being a deacon in the church, or going to church every Sunday and tithing sometimes and reading the Bible sometimes, you know, singing in the choir, male choir sometimes, and these kinds of things. And then going over to the pastor's house and helping him out with the lawn and stuff like that, knowing he's busy. I'd go over to one of the sister's house and help her. She said, when I overheard her say, the refrigerator quit working, or this not working, and so on. And she had the money paid for all that. I overheard the conversation. I walked in and said, sister, I know how to do that. Okay, Brother John. Okay, Deacon John. But I was at 10. I go and do it. And bring my butt on back home. But I thought I was saved because I was doing all that. You see. He said, no, it's a personal. I'm accepting this personal Lord and Savior. Listen at this. What I want to say, Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit operate in our lives. That's one thing he wrote and said. For us to properly and accurately and precisely know the nature and the way of the voice of God. And when I say he wants us to hear him so we would know exactly how we should interact with others and how we should conduct our lives and what our goals are. In order, now listen to this, in order to speak for God, we must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Lord, you know, a lot of people come to say, Lord says to tell you this, Lord says this, you know, Lord. Sometimes it isn't, sometimes. The joke is elevating his reputation. Oh, did you something? Because you God, he told me God want me to do this. He told me God want me to quit the job, clap the other job, clap the other job, fall flat on his face, and these kinds of things. In order to speak for God, we must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I mean, have a personal relationship with him more than you have with your mama. That relationship be more closer with the Holy Spirit than you have with your mama and with your daddy, those who still know their father. And you must have a more personal relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and God more than you have with your child, your son, your God, your twins, your triplets, whatever. God come first. And God knows our heart. He said, you can be saved, but still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. Let me slow that down. He said, John, you can be saved, but you got to have a personal relationship with me, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Another thing. You can be saved, but you still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. Because if the Holy Spirit will be telling us and demonstrate, God may want you to tell somebody, they share with you personal, and the Holy Spirit say, go tell that person is acting wrong. That would ruin their life, you know, a reputation. Then you go to child, Lord, something. So God wants you to hear him so he can advise you, tell you what to do, tell you how to find things, who's jabbing you, and everything else, because he don't want you to be deceived, because what? You're a child of God, and your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? You're a temple. The Holy Spirit in your body, and you walking around there hanky-panky, doing all kind of hanky-panky stuff. The Holy Spirit says, I'm sorry. Check it out. You know? And then you're still thinking you got the Holy Spirit, you ain't got no Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit ain't going to hang out in a body that masturbate, hang in a body that have sexual, kind of perverted sexual relationship. You know, and everything like that. Holy Spirit gone. And the devil keeps going, I got that fool. He don't know he's up there right now. He's like, I ain't going to bust him wide open and be down here with me. You know? So we got to recognize who he's talking to us, recognize his voice. And listen to this. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate through the believer. He has a speaking nature. That's why he's called a person. The Holy Spirit is a spiritual person. Human beings, human persons, fleshly persons, okay? The Holy Spirit is a spiritual person. He's a person, but he's a spiritual person. And we are persons as well, but we are fleshly and human persons, okay? And the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature. He can communicate with us. He speaks to us when he wants to do, when he wants to share with us. And moreover, remember this, the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey, our spiritual calling, our spiritual ministry in life, because he is the one that guides us. He is the one that knows what God's personal will is for our life. He's the one that gives us the gift. Sometimes you find out what the gift is. Some people are very talented. They look at little children, walk up there and play the piano. Never had a piano lesson in my life. There's some people get up to a mic and sing like, I don't know what, a voice of an angel. That's because it gets a personal gift. You may get some guys who play football, they got gifted. Say, you guys, it's only 13, man, or 12, or 14. And that dude can outrun everybody, and, you know, and I mean, catching all these touchdowns and everything else, running, knocking all these home runs. Sometimes our talent sort of reveal what God has planned for us, according to Jeremiah 29:11. And you see some kids got gifted, never been to school for it, kind of thing. And you find some kids, 4, 5, 6, can speak accurate English. I mean, you listen at your child, mother, some, my daddy, some, good God. Child don't sound like he or she 4 years old, 5 years old. That's God gave that person communicative skills. That person may have to be a lawyer, a doctor, a preacher, or something that I recognize and needs what communication gifts. And I'm pretty sure you met some kids when you were in school or some of your relatives who are younger than you and everything else that speaks like champs. I mean, they verbalize like no problem, those kind of things. So you know they're going to be a teacher, a preacher or something, a big-time supervisor, manager has the gift of speech. So I want to say this. The Holy Spirit is the most important person to us in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual journey. Because don't you know I have a plan for your life, a plan not a calamity problem, but a plan to give you a future and hope. And when you come to me and search me all your heart, then I shall be found by you. So he says, he is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, our journey, our calling, whatever that calling is. Some people call from different positions, even managers in restaurants and all, that's their calling, because God gave them a gift, and they can prepare food out of sight. You see some men in those places, they can outcook a woman a mile away. That's their gift. And so, Spirit is the most important person, like I said, to aid us in our spiritual walk, our journey, where are we going from here each day, our calling, and you be praying, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do, please. I don't know if I'm in the right job or not, you know. And Holy Spirit, I'm glad you asked, because you went up and go, this man here offered you this $700 a week instead of you taking the job $500 a week, you took the $700. But that wasn't where I want you, because that supervisor is a nasty-ass man. He likes to hanky-panky with his secretaries or his female workers and stuff like that, mean as hell and threaten them. So you never know. Money don't mean everything, because this person only promises you $200 more than $100, okay? So he, the Holy Spirit, is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey, calling, and ministry, and life, and so on and so forth. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone just a little bit. Let me see. 7, 8, 8 to 9. It's almost 10 minutes to 8. Okay, so the Holy Spirit can communicate with us and help us just as a person. And he will talk to you, and you, and when you really quit your hanky-panky and stuff like that, and when them thoughts come in, you say, hey, Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. You know that's him. You, God bless America. God bless me, kind of a thing. Because he said, my sister, that's my child. And he started talking to you and said, this person coming to see you, he really don't care about you. He just trying to rip you up, because he's going to try to sell you some thing where you have to give up some of your money, a couple of $1,000, making you think you're going to get rich. And he's a liar. He's going to rip you off your money. He's just to get in your pants. He don't care nothing about you. I know he said, love you, bought you an expensive watch, keep you at the dinner most of the night. He just didn't want to get in your pants. And after you get in his pants, he's gone. But he improved to the boys that he can get some, you know, and all these kinds of things. And so you don't know who your true friends who are. People side with you because they want a part of your reputation. You might be outstanding, well-known, well-liked. You know, is she like him or he like her? My God. Well, she must be something or he must be something. So even the Holy Spirit will tell you, rather, the relationship you have is an honest one, not just a crappy one. That person is trying to use you, that's all, for your power, for your prestige, for whatever you got. The Holy Spirit can communicate to you and all of us just as a person when we ask for help or when we ask for understanding. And we also, he's known as what? The Trinity, Father, Son, and the Godhead. And I want you to remember this too. The Holy Spirit will help us precisely, and he can discern what we really need. He can discern the Father's voice, the death of Jesus, and everything else, and the enemy voice. And he sure can help you. Listen at this, as a person. I was looking, I said, you know, he is a person. He's just a spiritual person. And I say, as, and then I read the Bible and read scripture and all that. And then I said, you know what? To my mind, I said, the Holy Spirit performs the same actions of a person. Because, you know, when you say spirit, you think he's not a person. You think he's a ghost, but he's not still a person. He's just an invisible thing, not an invisible person, an invisible thing, an invisible action. Like you can turn the light on, you pull the switch, and electricity turns on. We can't see electricity, but we know the electricity turns the light on. Some people think of the Holy Spirit that way. Oh, he's just electricity to do what God wants to say, that kind of thing. You know, he just makes it happen. But that's like an energizer. It makes it happen. But he's not really a person kind of thing. So I want to say this again. The Holy Spirit performs the actions of a person. Because why? He is a person. He does a number of things only a person can do. Now, I'm going to give some examples. And now I'm looking at my scripture. And the Holy Spirit says, show him this, show him that, show him this, show him this, show him that. You know, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay. And I look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Book of Acts, and Romans. And that's where I got all my findings from. Now, I'm not going to give you all the scriptures. I'll be here all day trying to give you scripture too, but I'm going to tell you what I found. As a person, the Holy Spirit led me to me. And these are things he does only a person can do, not a thing on energy. As a person, he teaches, as in John 14. As a person, he testifies, that's John 15 again. As a person, he guides us, Romans chapter 8. As a person, he speaks to us. That's 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 13. As a person, he lightens us when we're down. That's John 16:13. Now, I'm not going to call any more scripture because I don't want to take away all the time. He strives to help us to become what God has intended us to become. He commands us. In other words, you just feel a strong leading to go see somebody sick. And you don't know, well, I guess that goes, but I just can't get here. See, he's commanding you to go see that sick person because he wants to speak to that person through you. Many people in the hospital got saved because God led me to go to that room. Sometimes I'd be sitting in my office just reading the Bible, just reading something. I just look at the TV, little small amount of TV, and some say, John, go to room 222, whatever. And I go, huh? And I kind of ignore it first, and I keep on reading something. And say, John, go to room something. I say, oh, no, can't be. I said, well, I'll check it out and see. It could be, I don't know. So I go. And be a 7-something, 8-something year old lady thinking she was saved. I'm going to tell the whole story because then I won't finish my session tonight. She thinks her salvation based on her 30 years of singing in the choir. To make a long story, I'm going to say, I asked her this, and she said this to me. And I said that to her. And no, to make a shortcut, I just said she thought her salvation was her 20 years singing in the choir. He thought his salvation was because he was a deacon in the church for 10 years. This other person thought he said because he was a janitor of the church. And so forth. They were thinking of what they were doing. Then God just had, I'd break it down to him. I said, no, you missed three things. One, first, you got to recognize that you are a sinner. You don't think so. Ain't that wrong? You want to, you are a human being. I tell them what sin is. And they go, oh, my God. Then the second thing, I said, you got to tell God you're sorry for all your sins. Well, I do that sometimes, you know, sometimes. Suppose you sinned yesterday and you said, I'm sorry. You sinned last night or this morning. And you just say, I'm sorry. Tell me, forgive you. And then he said to tell you, I'm sorry. I told him I'm sorry. So he's nothing about to be sorry about to repent. So if you're going west down the highway, and if you sit and say, oh, I'm going the wrong way, my friend lives south, and you make a U-turn wherever you can, and then you go south. If you're going west, you turn around and go east. If you're going south, turn around and go north. Same way with repentance. It doesn't say, I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. No, you repent. You won't do it no more. And then when that devil comes and says, don't you remember how she was or how he was? Don't you remember how you sneak some of the money out of the offering plate when you take up the offering? You can take up those people's checks, but you can take up a $10 here and a $20 there and a $50 there. Nobody said no. You know? Yeah, that's right. Because the sister don't keep up with how much she put in church. Anyway, she don't know until the year's over when the church show her how much she put in. Half of them don't even know the amount they put in. So they put 10 one minute, 5 next day, 6 the next Sunday. So they don't know. Take out a couple of $20, $50 vegan and take the family out to dinner, these kind of things. So he teaches us, he testifies for us, he guides us, he speaks to us, through his Spirit. As a person, he enlightens us. As a person, he strives us. As a person, he commands us, tells us what to do. He intercedes for us when we pray, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I know that man going to kill me. I know that woman. Oh, I know mama going to be mad at me. I know daddy going to beat my butt. Oh, I don't know. And then the Holy Spirit says, do this, my child. But that's if you were God and love the Lord. I don't mean hanky-panky. You tell me, Lord, have mercy, Lord. You don't have no mercy. You loving your lifestyle. The only time you look at him is when your butt got in trouble. And so he's supposed to run to your escape every time. Okay, how you going to escape? Tell you what you do, what your mom will be. Tell you what your daddy won't do. Tell you what you need to do so you won't go to jail. Tell you what you do so the church will find out what kind of lifestyle you really live. That kind of thing. He calls us into different ministries. And when we're upset because mom mad at us, daddy mad at us, husband mad at us, wife mad at us, our children mad at us, our core, and then you did something wrong, the Holy Spirit will tell you what you do, where you can write. He comforts us. That's why he's called a comforter. So, Lord, I had a bad day today, Holy Spirit. I just don't know what to do. And I know there's something I need to get straight, but I don't know what I need to do. You talk to the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you. Okay? And then he works. He gives assignments to all of us. And he gives gifts to all of us in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter where he talked about some he gives the gift of tongues, some the gift of interpretation of tongues, some the gift of speech, some the gift of revelation, some give the gift of to heal sick and so forth. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. See, all that he gives us. And that's to defeat Satan. Another point I want to tell you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was addressed as a person. The New Testament clearly shows the early Christian, every time they recognize, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, the Holy Spirit told me to do that kind of thing. Remember Peter? Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit when he was commanded to go to Cornelius' household. Remember, he said, go there and tell him what salvation is all about and save him and his family. Remember that? Philip followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. You find that in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, where the Holy Spirit told me to go and witness to these people. And he opened his door, and he led them to the Lord. You remember, there was another example. Another example of the Holy Spirit as a person is seen in reference to the Trinity. You know, Jesus always referred to him as the body of the Trinity. Jesus commanded disciples to teach all nations. He said, when you do that, I want you to baptize them in the what? The name, what else? And the Father, and what else? And the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not an energizer that makes things happen when God says, let there be. And then the Holy Spirit, which is an energizer, is the force that makes that come to pass with the Father when he said, let there be. No, the Holy Spirit, it's a person. And Jesus said, remember, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say the name of the Father, Son, and electricity, some other term. He says, and the Holy Ghost, who is a person. Now, we talked about the deity. Like I said, he's God for our folks. Not only is the Holy Spirit a person, but I must say, he is also God. And as God, he is worthy of all our worship and obedience. And you folks tell you, it ain't no such thing as Trinity. There's only God. There ain't no son either. God ain't got no wife. God ain't going around screwing some woman and got him a son. Please. You got all kinds. Man, I read about 30 different types of religions. And you'd be surprised what you hear. And some of them teach that we are God. We just have to act like it. See, not only is the Holy Spirit a person, but he is also God. And as God, he is what? Worthy of our worship and our obedience and praise, y'all. His godliness or his deity is demonstrated in part by what? The names they give him. They call him what? The Word. I mean, not the Word. That Jesus called him the Helper. Okay, the Comforter in these things. And what else do they call him? Something else they call the Comforter and the Holy Spirit, the deity. From some places, his deity is shown by the titles the Word of God gave him. Say, I know now. The Comfort and the Spirit of Truth. That's what it was. His name is also known as the Spirit of Truth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's referred to as the Spirit of the Lord God. And don't forget now, when we speak of the Trinity, we speak of the Trinity of God. We are speaking of one God in three distinct persons, each being God. Now I want to talk a little bit about his attributes. I remember when I was looking this up and I said, now his attributes, God. I said, yeah, that's easy to remember. His attributes are the same as God, the Father, God, the Son. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere because he can possess every human being. Don't ask me how to do that, God. Can you imagine every person that is a believer and walks in the righteousness and holiness of God has the Spirit of Jesus? You know the Word of God says, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now listen at this. Our body, what body? How many bodies are you talking about? You got all those millions of Africans, Japanese, Russians, Americans, Negroes, Caucasians, Puerto Ricans, right on down the line. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's why we know God. We can't figure out God can do anything he wants. He can speak things into existence. Can you imagine say, tree come, and a tree pop up in front of you? I need a new house. You go to Andrew Black and say, house, come forth, and a new house pop up. Yeah, we can't figure God out. You know, he's all powerful. He's all omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what you're going to say before you say it every time. He knows what you're doing no matter where you're hiding, underwater, above the water, in the clouds, in the bushes, in a deserted ranch, whatever. He sees everything. Visiting somebody's house where you should not be. Okay? You in the car doing something you ain't got no business doing. You see all that. Okay. And then, what else I want to share? The Holy Spirit of God is also active in our regeneration experience. In other words, when we get to be born again. You know how each one of you got saved. All of a sudden, you don't want to do all that hanky-panky no more. You said, John, I need to get saved. Quit running all running around. I love the Lord, and I don't want to go to hell. You know, God keep remembering grandmama. Like in my case, when I was young, all her grandmama said, I'll be praying for you, boy. You know, and that never left me. Every time I get to do something, I'll be praying for you, boy. Because of her prayer, I got saved. So anyway, the Holy Spirit of God is also active in the work of regeneration. Remember I said that 2 seconds ago? Jesus said, if you remember the word, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we all got saved. We found it one day. We finally listened and felt led by the Holy Spirit to go up to that pastor one day and say, I want to join this church. But not only that, I want to get saved. Unfortunately, I know a lot of buddies, ex-buddies of mine who thought they were saved because they joined the church. And I remember all my years from the time I was a teenager to the time I was 30, I thought I was a child of God because I joined my church back down in Savannah. It was a Methodist church. And I thought, and then I sang in the men's choir and all these stuff. And all I would do, finally the Lord had to tell me, you ain't saved, you're just doing good things in the church. You're just helping out the church. That's not salvation. Salvation is believing who I am, Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah, and believing what I require. That is, you must live a God life and ask me to forgive you all your sins. And thirdly, you must tell me you want to be born again. You want to see me as your Lord and Savior. Not only that you recognize you're a sinner, only that you're trying the best you can, because if the best you can didn't do nothing. You got to recognize that I'm the Savior. I'm the one that died on the cross. Not Baptist, not Methodist, not Catholic, not Jehovah's Witness, not none of this stuff. Who died on the cross, John? I go, you, Lord. Amen. Who shed their blood for you, John? You, Lord. Look at those spikes and nails all in their hands and feet, huh? You, Lord. And who died as a result of all that stuff, John? You, Lord. Then, man, I repented for him, I tell you. There was something else. Now, the Holy Spirit, we are, praise the Lord, I still got 5, 10, 15, 20, 23, 7, 7, 8, 8 to 9. I'm supposed to stop at 9. Okay, and this is what I love part about the Holy Spirit. Do you know that he recognized that now we are born again, spirit-filled believers and stuff like that? But now he wants to gift us. You know, like some of the kids can play the piano, you know, piano lessons. Some people got a gift, a gab, can talk about anything you talk about. You got some people who can sing, never took up singing lessons. you got some people, you look at their handwriting, you think they went to writing school. You know, I look at some people, you know, get that professional writing, man. I say, wow. And sometimes it blows my mind when I see a man writing. I say, holy, that man writes better than the average woman I know. You know, and we all got different gifts. The gift of speech, the gift of dancing, the gift of being actors in the movies and all that kind of stuff. And I'd be wondering, how do you remember all those parts? You know, when you watch a two-hour movie and you ain't never seen none of them right there, and, oh, yeah, child, and then hold it, get a piece of paper. Yes, you're right, you're right. And then you get another piece of paper. Where do you think we should go? You got another piece of paper. You might be looking at the paper trying to find out what your next line is. You know? I'm going to kill you. Hold on a minute. And you get a piece of paper. No, I'm not going to allow you. And then say, where do you think we should go tonight? You got to reach the pocket and get a piece of paper. I think we need to go so. You look at those actors, man, they're just verbalized. They don't be reading no notes, no nothing. They have to, I finally realized it. They are blessed with the gift of memory. They're not spying, looking at a piece of paper that you can't see when they're conversing back and forth with one another, all those criminal pictures. And you know, people be communicating. That their memory is above average. They can read, you know, when they get those playwright books and stuff like that, they say, here's your book you read and get familiar with. They sit there and read a whole, like reading a novel about, I don't know, 200-300 pages long, because, you know, the story's about 2 hours. And they memorize all that stuff. Some men say they know exactly what to say. So we all got different gifts. So God has a gift for each one of us, y'all. And I want to share it with you, because a lot of us have been taught just the opposite, like myself. I've been taught false errors, and then you got to remember, God tells you, don't get mad at the ones who taught you all that crap, because they didn't know either. They were taught crap, and some are really godly, and God gives some of the ministers a gift where they know that Bible inside out. You can ask them anything, they can tell you what the Bible says, where you can find it. Not only interpret the scripture correctly, not according to their theological mind, because their doctor degree mind, but because they have the mind of Christ, and the Holy Spirit told them what that particular passage means. And you got to remember, when people be giving you interpretation of that, are they telling you what the Holy Spirit taught them? Are they telling you what a good teacher taught them? Are they telling you what a dumb behind teacher taught them, kind of a thing? So you stay in the Word. And this goes somebody who's right up the top says, this is what you must believe. But it's going to say, don't necessarily believe it. Just say, okay, I'll put it on the shelf and I'll take it up. And when you go home, you study, and study, and that's the law. Especially only when you have a conviction about what somebody's saying. Not every time you open up, say, I don't believe it, I don't believe it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when a deacon, a man of God, a woman of God, a preacher, assistant preacher, I don't care what kind of title, choir director, when they tell you, this scripture saying so, this is what you need to be doing. And you say, thank you. And Lord said, put it on the shelf and take it home and pray over it. So that's what I used to say. How did I know, brother? I say, I'm not that smart in Bible knowledge and all that stuff. You know, that when I was young, you know, I say, put it on the shelf and ask me. And sometimes even now when I read a scripture, I go, I can interpret two ways. And I go, Lord, which one should I tell you? And you believe what I tell you, not what you think it is, because your mind is fleshly. I am spiritual God, you know? So if I come across a passage I quite don't understand, before I tell somebody what I believe, I'll check with the Holy Spirit first, because I don't want to lie on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Because a lot of people are not teaching out of the Bible, talking about Jesus, not the Lord. Ain't no such thing as a Trinity, only God. And God ain't got no son. And God not a father. He had sex with some woman. All this kind of stuff. Tell all these crazy things. So here's the gift I want to share with you. And I just thank God. Here we go, y'all. We got, we got 50 minutes. Listen to this. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now, you know about Air Force guys in Marines, guys in Navy, guys in Army, and they all teach us how to do warfare. When you're in the Marines, they teach you how to battle ball. You know, them guys be teaching you when we're in camp, teach you how to wrestle, how to box, how to do judo, how to shoot a weapon, and how to shoot the various types of weapons, how to handle grenades and bombs and all that stuff, okay, and all the different kinds of guns there is. Well, we have to learn all that before they put a suit on us. Say, okay, go to Germany, go to Korea, go to China and fight this war for us. And you have to stay in boot camp 8 to 9 months, and they teach you how to march, They teach you how to box, how to wrestle, how to do judo, how to do karate. They teach you the whole night. And then they teach you, give you all these guns. And guess what? You have to be so familiar with the guns that they will blindfold you. You take your gun, and then you put the, and you lay the gun on a blanket, and then you take it apart by numerous pieces. And then they blindfold you, and now put the gun back together. And you hope you can do that because they taught you how to do it. You train, train, train. And if you don't, you might miss graduating. Another fellow, after 8, 12, 10 weeks of training is over, you have to repeat the whole thing. And he says, your mom and your daddy and your family all look for you to come home with your new uniform. Look at my son. Look at my daughter. Look at the uniform. Look at her. She's an Air Force man now. A Marine. He's an Army man now. This is this and that. And then when you come home, well, I got to do 12 weeks all over again, mom. You know, kind of dad. So we need training. I say all that to say, the Holy Spirit said, you're fighting Satan. You're not fighting another man. You fight no demons. All those fallen angels, the Bible says a third of them fell out of heaven. A third of them. So Satan tricked those suckers to come follow me. God kicked me out of heaven. But I'm going to establish my own heaven. He got mad because I was trying to establish a heaven right here. He just challenged me, come on, guys. And a third of them stupid angels followed behind him. I'm going to make you this. I'm going to make you the queen. No, you know, queen ain't no such thing as a female angel. He said, I'll make you leaders. I'm going to bring you all the parts, and I'm going to have all kinds of, I need a lot of managers, and I need a lot of this, and supervisors, and y'all going to run, help rule the earth, because the Bible says Satan is the Lord of this world, okay? Don't forget that. Satan is the Lord of this world. And I'm going to make you have just the north part, south part of the world. I'm going to make you head manager for this, and that. I'm going to make you the head manager over murder. I'm going to make you a supervisor over rapists. I'm going to make you a supervisor over liars. I'm going to make you a supervisor over masturbators. I'm going to make you a supervisor over lying. You know, every kind of sin you can think of. Killing people, I'll make you a killer. You'll be one of the top killers. Or a woman can say, I'm sorry, and you steal it, and you still can just blow her hair away. That's because I'm going to teach them. I'm going to teach them, give them that spirit. They're going to follow my thinking. And they don't know it. That's not their place. They follow a demonic, murderous spirit. That's why they shot that innocent young lady who gave them the money after the cash register, but they still kill that person. That ain't nothing but a murderous spirit. That's all that is. Because a man in his own mind, from his mama and daddy, I can be a child did that to you. Know, I know his mama and his daddy. How could he do that? Oh, Lord have mercy. Then you got something to suffocate, kill your own child, throw him in the river, suffocate him. And I don't know what happened. I woke up, a child wasn't breathing. Because they don't want, because the father elected the child and everything. They said, well, I'm to hell with it. I'm not going to raise, but I'm not going to kill a child. The child got sick or something. That's the devil. And then all this, I hate you. I don't like you because you're black. I hate you. I don't like you because you're a nigger. I hate you. And I like you because you're a negro. You're not white like us. You're not black. You're a monkey. You ain't smart. You ain't intelligent. You need to take your butts back to Africa where all your ignorance belong. You know? Yeah. It's like in my teenage days when I had to catch the bus to go to school. They didn't even have school bus, but we had to catch the public bus, catch the bus that goes right in the neighborhood where the school is, right by that neighborhood. And then when I'd be walking through the white neighborhood to go to the bus, and it's a little white children be playing out there on the sidewalk or playing on the posters, and the little sister be talking about, the one may might be seven, the other one might be nine. Seven. Look, there's a real nigga, see? See that? Look, the brother, look. And the mama overheard the child almost bust her butt getting out of the house and dragged her, came up and dragged her, sorry, sir, and dragged him. And I said, you ain't sorry, ma'am. You just sorry you got caught. The child said, look at this, a real nigga. And then I get on the doggone bus, and I get ready to walk through. Where are you going? Sir, you need to go to the back. You know, I remember a time so bad when I was 13, 14 to get on the bus. I walk up there, put the tokens in the thing, and step off the bus and walk outside alongside the bus, and he opened the back door and then opened again. Where people supposed to exit, that's where Negroes had to enter, the back doors. That's when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, you know. That's the truth. And then they think they're going to heaven. They forget God made all of us, black, brown, blue, whatever color it is. Okay. So God wants us to be able to defend ourselves, but not primarily against another human being. He wants us to defend ourselves against Satan and his demons. The demons are the ones who want you to commit fornication, commit adultery, commit lying, commit theft, commit stabbing, commit robbing, and all the sins you can think of, smoking weed, smoking dope, and all these different kinds of drugs and everything else is a demon. And how do you know the name? All you got to do is know what drug they take it. That tell you who the demon is. If the person is an alcoholic, can't stop, that demon is named alcoholic. If the demon got you doing whatever you don't want to do, that's the name of that demon. So if you were smart and you were there with the law, because he figured, that demon figured they can make you do it, because they're looking at you. They know you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. That demon said, you can fool your mom and your daddy, you can fool your husband and wife, you can fool your friends, but you can't fool me because I see what you're doing. And that demon is called familiar spirit. That's one of the major demons, familiar spirit. That spirit follows you everywhere you go. It know all your likeness and dislike. And then that demon go back and tell Satan. Then Satan says, thanks for telling me. Then Satan will get the demon that's in charge of masturbation, the demon in charge of adultery, the demon in charge of whatever the sin is. And then that demon will assign to you. And you'll be like, I don't know why I can't stop smoking. I don't know why I can't stop thinking about that man. I don't know why I can't stop thinking about that woman. I don't know why I keep thinking about taking a couple of dollars out the office because nobody comes. I don't know why. That's a demon that says, do it. You see? That's why we need information teaching on spiritual warfare. Because we're being attacked by Satan, we don't even know. We're going to put ourselves to the blame. And the main thing you need to do to fight demons is you need to have the right weapons. If you go to Germany or Russia with a cap gun, a water pistol, them, we're here, we're ready to defend America. We'll shoot y'all, we'll kill y'all, and all y'all pull out your water pistol, they pull out bombs, grenades, and machine guns, K-47, all that, and you got cap guns. Now, what the world cap gun going to do against a machine gun, a K-47, huh? Tell me. Well, that's what we're going through without those gifts. We're trying to go, those gifts died out. That's a lie. Satan wants you to lie, wants you to fool. I'm going to tell you what those gifts are in a few minutes. But if you're going to Russia, what in the world are you doing going over to fight the Russians and somebody give you a water gun? Huh? And then your bosses, all your leaders know, this gun is just as good. We don't use these K-47D machine guns. We have our water guns that they gave us when we were children. We have his bow and arrow. We have his cap guns. That's what we're saying. We say we have his word, but not his word. So we have his word. That's just one means of defending the devil, because if you know his word, you won't fall in the trap. If he say, go screw her, if you didn't know the word, you would say, wait a minute, I'm married. I'm supposed to do that. That's adultery. Well, I ain't married, so I don't have to worry about a wife, so I'm going to go and screw him or her. Well, that's fornication. See? So God gave us gifts to help us. So when the devil comes, try to come and attack us with our body, our mind is the playing field. Our mind is the town where you go. I mean, the country you go, Germany, Russia, Japan, to fight. Well, our mind is Germany. Our mind is France. Our mind is wherever war is fought. Vietnam, that's where the devil hang out. That's where he don't knock on the door. Can I come in? This is what I want you to do today. Our mind is the spiritual battleground, y'all. That's why I say you got to think of everything. Think carefully and theologically. What are you thinking? Okay? Just because you're thinking it, it don't mean it's you. Let me say that again. Just because you're thinking it, it don't mean you. And not but you a little bit sometimes, the Holy Spirit sometimes, the devil sometimes, and some demonic folks that the devil put in command over to get you to do something you ain't got to do, and then hope you'll die before you realize that you need to repent. Not to say, I'm sorry, Lord. Sorry, don't cut it. Bible says repent. When you go and say, I'm sorry, and I repent, that means you just promised the Lord that I ain't going to do that no more, Lord. Thank you for letting me live a couple of days. I mean, I did that sin about 5 days ago, and I'm just recognizing that that was awful, that was a sin. Had I died 2 or 3 days ago, my behind would have been in prison, not prison, but in hell right now. And the reason a lot of us live in a long time is because you know what you're doing. I don't. But think about it. If you had died yesterday, where would you been? You see, mercy of God? Some who's listening could be adulterous. Some who listen could be thefts. Some could be pot pickers. I mean, all kind of things, you know. But it's not bad enough where you can be discovered. Now, some of us smoke weeds, you know, kind of thing. Everybody can see me smoking out here in the backyard. I get in my car, smoke my little weeds and stuff like that. The Holy Spirit sees you. And then when you die, go stand before God, the Father, Son, and he said, get out the books. Because Tuesday I'm going to teach on the books. I'm going to talk about the great white throne of God. There's two major judgments that we got to be confronted with. One is called the judgment seat of Christ. Another one is called the great white throne of God. Those are two judgments every human being got to go through. The judgment seat of Christ, that's when God would call up the ones who were godly, you know, not everybody at the same time, but when they die, they go stand, but at the end of the time, at the end of the year when Christ come back, and then he can have the great white throne, no, the judgment seat of Christ. That's when he will call everybody, and them angels, he can do your thing, those angels are going to go within seconds to have every godly person in this whole world, human being, be on his right side of God. And then to take everybody, all those others, and put them on the left side of God. And then those who don't know between the judgments, the great white throne of God, that's the judgment. Millions and billions of people got to stand in that group where it says the white throne, the great white throne of God. And they don't know that. That's for sinners. He's going to tell them all what they did. He can show them all what they did in seconds because he's God. He can run that thing through your mind like a machine gun. From the time you did your first sin to the sin you died, he can bring that all to your members in a second. He said, oh, my God. And I remember I told him, I'm sorry. I'll be much sorry and all that. My mama told me I need to get right. My brother, my sister told me to get right after mine. A bunch of religious nags. I do it when I get ready, man. I'm too young to be going around and talking, holy, holy, holy. And a person died before he can change. And they have to cry, them and millions and billions of other human beings standing before the throne of God, the great white throne here. And he said, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry. They tell me you God is first, second, third chances. I'm sorry. Not after you're dead. Huh? So he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. And those angels, those warring angels are mighty. And those angels say, come. And those angels, God can just say, go. And you can be there. You don't, they don't have to drag y'all by the arm and hand. Come on. All you millions of people, hey, you, and one angel told them, you get them 15, I'll get this 15. You come back and get another 15. Oh, God said, go. Be there. And you be in that pit in a second. You don't even have to walk there, run there, or crawl there. You would be there in a second. You just say, go. And you'd be right there. And you turn around and go, huh? And you find yourself in a cage environment. And then he looks on his right side. And then all of them, oh, Lord, especially those who don't know the difference between the throne, the right throne of God and the right, and the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is those who repent and truly follow God with all their heart. They stand in trembling. I'm pretty sure I got it. And I go, I ain't going to ask you. When I met the Lord, I ain't backslide. Not me, child. Me either. I followed him all my life. And me too. And I did this. And he said, and I ain't did it because I'm doing that for salvation. I'm doing that because of my salvation. And so on, so on, so on. And then God said, after God looked at him and said, here are your rewards. And those angels be passing out all those rewards to those millions and billions of believers like us who love the Lord. And then he said, welcome into the kingdom that I have prepared for you even before you was born. I died for you before you were born. I died for you when you ran this stealing, raping, murdering, killing, and all this kind of stuff. Because a lot of people in jail met the Lord when they were walking down the aisle going to the death chamber to be electrocuted. And that pastor, or that chaplain walks out, it ain't too late, you ain't dead yet. I don't pick up no fool, but I am really sorry. Because God know your heart, know your spirit. He know you saying, I'm sorry, Lord, because you see yourself marginalized in the lecture. And he know your spirit. He know you don't mean it, so you can't crap God. But then some go, Lord, and they realize some people don't really see the way until they can't get so low they can't go no lower. Some people, and I met in the hospital, know they're dying of cancer. Call for the pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not stupid because I know my grandmama always told me, Mr. John, could you pray for me? I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be my grandmama again. You know, she died 4 years or 5 years ago. I said, praise the Lord, now leave that person alone. And you know what? The Lord said, he or she is sincere. Because he said, I want you to pray for me so I can go to heaven because I don't want to die. And you know, the Lord said, he's not sincere. You heard me, folks. The Lord would tell Brother Emmett, would tell me when he wanted to, that he did not repent. He just saying that because he got caught. And he don't want you to despise him no more. Or she don't despise him no more because she find out what he or she's been doing in the dark. They're just saying that because they want your forgiveness, but they really haven't been. And I said, you know what, man? I only did it one time. That's what they all tell me. I only did it one time. And I go, that's a lie, right? I said, man, you're not talking to a child. What you mean? You call me a liar? I said, you tell me you only did it one time, please, man. You know what? You know how I know? Yeah. Tell me. How you know? I said, because the Lord just told me. Now you tell me. Now, what do you got to say about that? I don't believe it. Then the Lord may tell me something else personal about, tell Brother him and say, tell him what his house number, tell him the street number, Brother John. The Lord told me to tell you. So Brother said, repeat after me, Brother John, because I know he's still trying to hear voice. And so he says, he lives at 209 South Street. I said, you live at 209 South Street? Huh? And your security number is, huh? And you drive a such a car? Huh? And your car tag number is so-and-so, huh? I said, you see, God tell me you're lying. You might can fool me, but you can't fool God. You didn't really repent. You're just mad because your wife is standing right outside this motel room. I'm talking to the telephone. And your wife is standing outside. The preacher's standing outside. Your son and your daughter outside. And you laying up in this room screwing another man. And I guess who told on you? Who told on me? I'm going to kill that sucker. I said, who told on you? I said, that faggot told on you. Hey, now what you mean? I said, you, that faggot been charging you $300 a month to screw it, to get something. And you, every month, you screw giving that queer $300. And now the queer, and then you think you're some big and bad. And I said, I ain't paying no money. That ass is mine. Oh, man, I ain't got paying no money. I want what I want. And I said, guess what? And then that's how that queer got back at you. They told the pastor at the church, because that faggot goes to the same church, told the pastor where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing. And told your family and everybody, but the family couldn't believe it, so they didn't give them a pre-warning. Said, don't you go there, too bad to go there, because you're not supposed to know, you know. So they find out, and the wife, or the pastor, or the police officer, would call one of the hotel men in the office, would you page my husband up there in the room, so-and-so, that he needs to leave that faggot alone. And just go, and he's not going to be here anymore. I just only if I see him, I'll kill him. Man, that happened over 40-some times, folks. You'd be surprised that the Lord got me and Brother in there. The Lord, they'll call us and tell us, I ain't doing that. And then get mad when we teach the word like I'm teaching tonight. And someone call us and say, I'm going to ball jack you. I don't like what you teach. I go, what's a ball jack? You know, because I have no. And so the guy said, oh, that means I'm going to, I'm a homosexual in your butt. I said, what do you mean that dude is supposed to be? He talking about he going ball jack? That's what that means, coming here, down here to screw me in my butt? You know? And that kind of thing. So, just remember, the Holy Spirit will tell you every time you need a problem, you got an issue. If somebody after you want to do harm to you, the Holy Spirit, but you got to know it. And don't play with it. Remember, he wants your body, soul, and mind, okay? Your body, soul, whatever. The man going blank on it? Body, soul. It'll come to me, man. But dig this. Yeah. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as follows. Now, these are the gifts that I want you to know. These are the gifts. And you find in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Body, soul. Okay, he just brought it back to me. Body, soul, and spirit. The body and the soul. The body is how you break his commandments with your body. Soul is what you think about God and what you think about religion, what you think about the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. That's your soul. I mean mind. But your soul is your spirit. Are you really following him spirit-wise? Are you a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, or a worldly man or a worldly woman? Okay, now, I got 30 minutes, and I'm going to tell you these gifts that he has for each one of us. Now, folks, don't get mad if you happen to have one of these preachers who say, we have his written word. You got to remember, he's been taught just like me and everybody else. So that's all I heard from the time I was knee-high to a turtledove when I was 6 years old to the time I was 30. We have his written word, like God don't speak to us. The only way he speaks to us is we got to read the Bible so he can speak to us by reading the Bible. So it doesn't work that way anymore. God speaks to us through our spirit and our minds and everything else. And he has gifts. Remember what I said, what gifts are? Gifts are what should I say? Gifts are things that he gives each one of us so we can survive in this ungodly, ruined world. Satan is in charge of the earth. He wants us to be well weaponized and trained so we can go through this life from the time we are born to the time we are 15 or 16 or 20 or 30, 40, 50, 70, however, whatever age. He wants us to know his word so he won't have to say to us, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. Okay, and remember this, y'all. This one came to my mind. He said, don't play God. We have people play me. But I only did it one time. Only he did. And don't you dare have the nerve to look God in the face and tell me, I only did it one time. God will sap you so far you would know if you're going or coming. Don't you tell a lie right in his face knowing that he's almighty. And you don't know when in the world you will die. And don't get in the face if you die at night. Tell me, well, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, I was going to give my life over. I didn't know that drunk man was going to hit me and I got killed. But I was going home and I was going to get right and that should forgive me all my sins. And then God again said, you're lying right now. See, you ain't saying right now you're lying to me. You think I'm not God? I gave you all those years hoping you would come and get saved. But you know what? Even though I knew your behind was going to hell, I still provided you the opportunity to get saved. But my thoughts were never wrong. I'm God. But that didn't keep me from saying, praying to myself, I hope he gets saved. You know? God knows who's sorry, who isn't. Even on the deathbed, somebody, I'm sorry, Lord. Because they overheard the doctor tell my family members, she only got one or two more days to live, or he only got one. And so he said, oh, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. So. But in his heart, he's not sorry of living a sinful life. He just said, I'm sorry because he heard somebody say, he's going to hell. He didn't say, I'm sorry. He didn't say, forgive me because I'm sorry for all that sin that I did. Beating on my wife, cheating on my husband, stealing money out of the church, parking it, all that stuff. He's doing it because he knew he died. So he said, I got to cover myself. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah. And he got to go there and hear the Lord say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. And, you know, so these are the gifts that he gives each one of us. I got 30 minutes, y'all. Thank the Lord, I still got 30 minutes. And you'll find this in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, okay? 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. These are gifts. When I say gifts, these are like weapons that God gives us to succeed and survive. Just think about it. I'll break it down. If you're going to be a soldier, you wouldn't go to Russia or Germany without any guns or weapons, would you? And you sure wouldn't be stupid enough to talk about, we have this good work. Can you imagine you going to fight the German? And then they say, what you come in and fight us with? Well, I have my sergeant written word. He says, we need to hit you this way. We need to tackle you this way. We need to kick you this way. And we need to shoot you this way. They ain't going to do nothing. All you do is talk a bunch of bull. And you probably went to war because that German or that Russian laughed himself to death. See, I got a grenade here. I got a weapon here. I got knives on me. I got a couple of grenades I can stick in your pocket and blow you to a million pieces. What you come up here against, fight against me? Well, I got a water pistol and I got a firecracker. It sounds like a bomb, but it can break your eardrums. And I got a switchblade and you probably kill that guy just because he laughed himself to death. So Jesus said, before I go, the Holy Spirit got gifts to give you all. He'll tell you what they are. And then all of a sudden, you find out. He relayed what the gifts are in the Old Testament. I'm not Old Testament, but the New Testament. Talk about the gifts. Some people are given the gift of wisdom. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that is panning out these different gifts because he knows your heart, he knows your strength, he knows your weaknesses. He knows what kind of person you are, so he's going to give you a gift, just be giving you a good one. He's going to give you a good one that suits your personality, and he knows where you're going to be the next 20, 30 years. So he's going to have you in another, because you might not know, you might be living in Texas or California. 10 years married. So he gives you the gift that would suit your personality and the environment that you're going to be in. Okay? Because a lot of you right where you are right now, didn't know. Like I was raised up in Savannah, Georgia. I never thought I'd be here in Atlanta. I've been here in Atlanta now 47 years. If anybody told me when I was, from the time I was 1 to the time I was 30 that I'd be living in Atlanta, Georgia, I told them they were fool. Because I thought you would be in Savannah. But the job office was in Atlanta because Atlanta's the capital of Georgia, and that's where you find more jobs in the capital of each state. So I said, what's the capital of Georgia? It's Atlanta. So that's where I'm going. And it's been wonderful. I've got two careers. One is a human resources director, making $80,000 a year. And then there's a hospital chaplain, making $60,000 a year. You see? And God bless me. And I came here. So listen, here's the gift, folks. And I want you to look them things up tonight when you go home or tomorrow when you're free. Just look at those gifts. It's 12 of them or 9 of them. I mean, people pass 8, 7, 8. It's 9 gifts. And here they are. And you know what? And when I recognized tongue was one of them, I said, man, I've been tricked. So I went back down to Savannah. And my sister said, you mean you still don't believe in that? Well, you know, I don't go to St. James AME Church no more. I said, I didn't know you left St. James AME. You know, I was it's a full gospel, non-charismatic. I said, that's when people be hanging on chandeliers and swinging and all that stuff and talking about blah, 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 blah. You see, tongues, that kind of crazy stuff. She said, you better watch your mouth, John. I said, huh? And then she told me that. Don't you mock God's word, God's faith. I said, oh, okay. So I advised her. I said, no. She said, that thing you, and she showed me a scripture. She said, if you offend the Holy Spirit, Jesus said himself, you can offend me, you can offend my daddy. But any offense against the Holy Spirit will never, N-E-V-E-R. She said, you see that, Brother John? I go, And I went, when I came back to land, I underlined all that same scripture in all my Bibles, everybody like 8 Bibles, different versions, and said, Jesus said, if you say something and do something against me, oh, I'll forgive you. And you can say something about my father, oh, I'll forgive you. And he'll forgive you. But anything against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. My mom ain't raised no fool. I ain't going to never say anything against the Holy Spirit no more. I ain't no fool. But Jesus said, oh, please forgive me. The Holy Spirit walk away. You understand like a fool. So the Holy Spirit give us different gifts, and here they are. And folks, don't get mad. You know, like I said, there are some preachers say the gifts are not relevant. Tongues are not up there. He's just speaking what he's been erroneously taught. The man believed it. Heck, if I went to seminary and I found out that a lot of things that pastor was telling me, it wasn't real because he was speaking from his own mind. He's speaking from what some illiterate preacher was teaching him when he was in school. Just like we believe with mom and dad, like those white folks. Don't mess with them niggas. They do and stuff. We hide in them. We better than them. Oh, okay, mama. And I bet not catch you. Tell me, marrying a white black man, kill your butt. And honey, I bet not see you going on a date with some black man. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. And I got white friends that told me that's what their parents said to them. You know? And we're going to keep the school segregated. I don't want you to go in because the teacher's going to have to bring down their teaching so them niggas can understand. They can't talk and teach on our level. And that's what those white folks, and that's what they told me when I was in the military. Guys got to know me personally. When I was in the Army at 28, 29, do you realize that by me being the same bad as white folks, they said, Mr. John, you don't act like you don't act stupid. You know, you talk good English and everything. What do you mean? But my mama told me y'all like this, mama. And then you know what else they used to do? When I go to the bathroom, take a shower, they all follow me in the bathroom. And I go, wait, y'all a bunch of sisters. Why are y'all following me in the bathroom? Well, we want to see if your thing's bigger than our thing. I said, what are you talking about? Well, my mama and my dad told me, don't be messing with no niggas because y'all thing's bigger than our things. And if I slip and go to bed with a black man, I never want to go to bed with a white man no more because the black man would do big things. But I get most thrills. I said, that what your family told you? Yes, sir, Mr. Dude. I'm talking about military guys who spent 3 years in the military and me sleeping in the same barracks and everything else. That's the truth. I said, well, I'll be doggone. I didn't know that. So, that's what our parents teach us, that they're inferior and insupportable to us. And then some still trying to say that y'all came from monkeys, Mr. John. I said, what? Yeah, say y'all came from monkeys, especially the real dark-skinned ones came from monkeys. And half the ones kind of yellow like you, see, that's because You're half white and half black because some white man screwing you, your grandmama, your great grandmama, and them genes just lighten up a little bit, each century. Because if there wasn't no white man involved, all Negroes would be black. But we got Negroes that look white, y'all Negroes, some of y'all look Spanish with light brown skin, some brown skin, some real black skin. And the reason that is because y'all were slaves, and the white masters been screwing the black sisters in the house. We were doing the housework, cleaning dishes, cooking meat, and everything else. They kept the black Negroes out in the field doing the crops and everything else. That's how come y'all colors started changing. Yeah, we know that. So here's the weapons, the gifts. And so remember, don't get mad at the pastor. Say, well, the pastor told me we have to. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because that pastor loved the Lord. Just nobody perfect. You got good preachers and bad teachers, and you got middle of the road preachers, you know. And so if I'm a school coach, I've been taught that same way. And I caught hell trying to switch over until I finally gave up and decided to go talk to the Lord myself personally. I said, if I ask this preacher something, he says this. I go to this other preacher, he tells me that. I go to this other preacher, and we all looking at the same stinking scripture. Not stinking scripture, but we get the same stinking interpretation. Now, what is it? I said, I'm going to talk to the Lord. And I called my sister, I'm coming home. I need to talk, because you know the Lord. And she took me to her church and the pastor. She said, I'm not trying to convince you. Why don't you go ask him? Ask him for one of the gifts. Then you say, oh, you're like, oh, you heard about tongue at season. Yeah, I said, well, why don't you ask the Lord for that? But it's only one way you're going to get it. I said, what's that? I said, you have to believe. And another thing, you can't be phony baloney. So you mean you can't be saying praise the Lord, hallelujah, and you got your little girlfriend on the side. Are you shoplifting? Are you wishing the death on somebody? Are you hate somebody with all your heart and soul, man? You think it's no man. I say, and you can't be when you're married, so you can't be an adulterer. I say, I'm not an adulterer. I can't have God can happen away. And I say, besides one thing, he said, what's that? I say, I ain't going to hell over no woman peeing you. That's why hell ain't worth it. I don't care if it's a yellow, blue, green, big, small, medium, whatever. Ain't no PUS. That's why it's going to cause me to spend eternity in hell. I ain't that stinking stupid. And so I'm glad to hear that, Brother Josh. Well, I ain't stupid. People out here about cheating on their wives and husbands and cheating, having sex with the same sex and all that stuff. I ain't going to hell with some crap like that, because that's what the devil want to do. He just want to ruin all our lives and everything else. Because you ain't going to be no slip back. If you're doing, you die for you, really true to that, you're behind, going to be standing for Jesus. I died for you. What more can I say to you? You know the Bible. You know the Bible. I know you know the Bible. Your butt went to seminary, and then you were teaching all these years, and then you were teaching lies and teaching mistruths and stuff like that. And you enjoy what you were doing. Don't come with me with that. I am God. G-O-D. I am God. You don't say any kind of thing. Well, let's look at it this way, Jesus. Let's look at it that way. Well, let me explain it this way. Don't play me for a fool. I'm going to tell you to go to hell right off. I'm just being nice by hearing you, but I got to tell you right up front, you're going to hell because nobody gets saved on this side. I'm not your fool. I died for you. I was your sacrificial lamb. I was not your fool. I was your sacrificial lamb. That's what I was. And that's why you in this judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. This is not the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, that's where all the followers of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God would be in that judgment. But God would tell them what they did wrong while they were on earth. But turn around and say, but I forgive y'all because y'all asked me, welcome home. And give them gifts. The only gift the play ones get is the word go to hell. And Jesus will say it right in their faces. Go to hell. I've died for you. How would you like your son and your daughter to die for you, for me? And I'm running home around doing this, teaching everything, and I'm dying. You're going to say, come on home. I die. You probably want to kill me yourself instead of waiting until I die of old age. And that's the mercy of God. God got some people living to their 60, 70, 80, 90 and still raising hell, still sinning. God's given them all them years so they can have an opportunity to get saved, okay? God gave them those years so they can get saved. Sometimes some funerals I go to and see a number of lives. they're going to a better place. And I knew that person personally. No matter how much, actually, I come here, just stay with me because you come here religious and actually, I don't want to hear that stuff, man. I'm too young for that. And then they died of some venereal disease. And then I go to their funeral because I know them, you know, because we were at the school together, and I had to preach to them. They said, well, it's gone to a better place. I say, I hope so, because I know he's doing cheating and stealing and smoking dope and all that stuff. But I say, I can't say where he's going because who knows, the day before he died, he probably accepted Christ when he's in the hospital. So I can't say who's going there, who is. So some people are last minute savers. Some people get saved on their deathbed. Some people, as some of the hospital, prison chaplains tell me, say, do you know what, John? That person sold out to the Lord, walking down the aisle, going to the lecture chair. I said, I guess so. He ain't up there still. He said, but I guess so. He said, but they can't prove God, though. They're doing it because they think they can say God. Well, I said, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, kind of thing. And God knows who we repent. Sometimes God will tell Brother Eminem, tell me, and say, that person is sorry. That person is transgiving. So you can't prove, when you're deathbed, you can't prove God. God sees it. That nigga was about to die. He knows he's about to die. And he thinks he's going to pull my leg back to him. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. And you're just talking to deaf ear. That's why I can't wait. 2 weeks I'm going to talk on the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment that all the hypocrites and phonies are going to face. And I tell you what's going to be going on and everything else. I got it out of my Bible. See, and everything I say, I'll be able to spit the scripture out to you. I'm trying to decide between that or the judgment seat of Christ. That's all the believers, what we can expect and what's going to be going on in that judgment. I got that too. But the judgment for believers and the judgment for the non-believers. I'll share that too. So maybe Tuesday I'll do the one for the judgment non-believers. That's the one that's needed because me and Brother Emmett, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to ball jack you. I said, oh, he don't know what he's saying. He's just behind on his way to hell. And we had 70-some more people who threatened us. And guess what? Ain't none of them was able to reach us. They lost the Winnebago. They came down in. And some got picked up by the police. And some of the gangs in our neighborhood see those Winnebagos and they come down and say, oh, they're coming to do harm to John. And they say, you ain't going there. That's what they say. The whole neighborhood and where the Emmett lives is predominantly black. And half of them are gangsters who love us. And who's something we done changed and haven't lead the Lord. Then there's some who love me. So what did they say to you, Brother Johnson? Oh, he said, you coming down and put a stick on me, put a dress on me, make a faggot out of me, and he gonna screw me till I turn to be a faggot. He said, oh, he gonna do that. I said, I know that. I said, Pastor, I said, chaplain, no chaplain. I'm not standing there. What you want me to be? Okay. No, Lord. I do everything to him but kill him. Because the Bible says that's when I kill. But he gonna worship me day by the time I get through. He can misjudge me who I am, what I am, and what I've done in my past. It's because I'm maybe, I don't say I'm a little old goat, a little sissy who can't defend himself. Well, he do. I may have a gun in my pocket. The guy threatened my life. He told me, I'm going to take you behind. I'm going to make you, convert you. He tried to put his hand out, kill him. And that's protection. I already talked to a couple of judges. They say, you ain't got no person to say, oh, you defending yourself. You ain't supposed to stand there and let some man come from this city down to your city or your state and tell me he going to put a ribbon on you, put lipstick on you, screw you, and make a queer of you, and turn you into a faggot. The judge said, I'll kill a sucker myself. I said, thank you, judge. That's all I want to hear. So that threats don't worry me no more. I know what I can do and what I can't do. Now, if anything else, I want y'all to remember this. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit want to give each one of you. Each one of you. Oh, man, I'm down to 12 minutes. Okay, here we go. The Holy Spirit will give us. You find this in 1 Corinthians. The 12th chapter. The first Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The first one is ensure that he's a person. He expends gifts to each one of us. One is called the word of wisdom. That's a gift. And each person is going to get different gifts. Some get 2 and 3. Some get 1. For God to know where, the Holy Spirit know where they're going to be 10 years from now, so forth. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us as follows. He gives us the word of wisdom. That's the first one. He gives some the word of wisdom. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And guess what? When you get the word of wisdom from God, this is what you will get. It won't be everything, because I can't list 15, 20 things he'd give a person who got the word of wisdom. I can tell you how wisdom is used, okay? I try to use about 2 things, examples. For those who he give a message of wisdom to, that is for that person to be able to solve the problems, the situation they get themselves into. because God knows where you're going to be, what job you're going to have, what kind of neighbors you're going to have, how many, what kind of in-laws you're going to have. He know all that stuff. So he's going to give someone who really needs it. It's called the word of the message of wisdom. The Holy Spirit says, I tell you what you need to do. So what happened is with the message of wisdom, he gives you the gift to solve problems and situations. And another one, he gives you the word of divine instructions and direction to give to someone. Like, say, your husband, your wife, your child, mom, dad, I don't know what to do about the situation. Lord, what can I do to help my mom, my daddy? What can I help do to help my neighbor, my coworker, my boss? And the Holy Spirit tell you, say, tell him this, tell him to do this and that, this and this and this and this, that. You see? But it's the same way. Remember, I said, when you get the word of wisdom, the Holy Spirit will give you divine instructions and directions to give to someone who may need it. And because of your spirit-filled, spirit-listening self, you might tell that person to do something that might save his hand from going to jail or from being murdered. Because you might mess with the wrong woman and she might have a crazy husband. He said, what? She finally said, he just keeps bothering me. I just can't take it over. What? And then he's blew you apart, dead, see? Then you dead. Then the guy got to go to jail because he killed somebody. Now, he's in jail the rest of his life. And you, and not only you in jail for a part of time, but then you end up in hell. So the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to deal with problems and any kind of issue and situation you may be having. And then he will give you divine instructions to give somebody. It could be your neighbor, your auntie, your cousin, uncle, daddy, whoever. Because they might be going through some stuff that they're scared to tell you about. So you might call this, honey, come here. Let me talk to you. You know, I was praying last night. You know, the Lord spoke to me. Really? The Lord spoke to you? Yeah. And let me tell you, he said you was having this problem. How do you know that? I just told you. The Lord told me. Oh, yeah. You told me. Well, the Lord said, what you need to do, honey, son? It's so. Oh, thank you. Sister so-and-so. Thank you, brother so-and-so. You're just regular believers in the Lord. They're not got to be hired with all the big titles. They can just be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? Then another gift he gives them is called the word of knowledge. Number 9, I said the word of wisdom. That give you, tell you how to solve a problem or situation that you may be in. And then the other one, to give a word of divine instruction. Divine instructions, man, he instructs you to go to somebody and tell them what the Lord told you to tell them. And that would say that person committing suicide, seeing that that person still had a second chance at life because you helped them solve their problem. Okay. I said the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, listen at this. He will give you names. This is what's going to be displayed in your life when you get the word of knowledge. One, it gives you the names of people. Somebody might do you harm, somebody cheating on you, and you just can't remember the person's name. God will bring that name to your remembrance. What else with the word of knowledge? Knowledge means knowing things. And he'll tell you where you lost things. You go, oh, Lord. Man, last time I lost my key, it took me about an hour to walk around this house and you look in the garage and try to find them stupid keys. Well, with a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you can hear him. This is what the Bible says. Not only he give you names of people, that's in Acts 9, verse 11, but he would help you to find lost items. That's way back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 70. He helped you to find lost items like your door keys, your car keys, or the keys to your office, whatever you miss, you know, your Bible or some whatever you misplaced and you laid it down somewhere, your jewelry, I laid that thing down somewhere, you take where you can find it. And then what's another one? He will tell you about, enemy exposed, enemies exposed. In other words, you got a lot of friend girls out there, friend guys. I ain't say boyfriend, girlfriend, I say friend guys, friend boys, friend girls. Who you think are really buddies of yours, but they just hang around you because they're jealous of you, and they're becoming popular like well-liked because you happen to be well-liked and everything else. They figure their association with you would enlighten their chances of becoming famous and popular too. So some people are your friends not because they're so much like you, it's because they're so much using you, okay? You might be the supervisor, you might be in some leadership type position, and that person always hanging around you because they're trying to steal some of your reputation. Or they, you know, he must be like him. He always have Joe with him. He always have John with him. He must be pretty cool. I didn't ever know John like that. You know, that kind of thing. So, here we go. Word of wisdom, he help you to solve problems. He give you divine instruction on how to solve them problems. The word of knowledge is knowing things. He would he give you the names of people that you can remember. He help you to find lost items. I'm talking about word of knowledge, knowledge, knowing things. He also give you, I'm down to 5 minutes. The enemy is 7, 8, yeah, okay. He give you the names of people. He gives you names of lost items. He gives you the people who hate you. He reveals you what kind of relationship you have with that person or those persons. He helps you to find addresses of people who you lost the address when it was given to. And then he reveals secret things, what people are doing towards you, again, trying to get you fired, trying to find excuses. And your boss, working with this other person so they can hire their nurse or their niece or their cousin, but they got to get you fired first. And then you would know whether that supervisor like you're not what they're doing, and the host would even tell you how you can counter it, how they can counter that. Then the third one, discerning of spirits. You know what discerning of spirit is? Discerning of spirits is, there's three types. Remember, I said discerning of spirits. I mean, distinguishing who's talking to you. Which spirit? A spirit, that's a spiritual being. You know, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You got unholy angels and all that. Those are angels. All those are spiritual beings, not human beings. So you can discern the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You have three primary people talking to you. You, some are spiritual and some are fleshly. And those thoughts will come to your mind. That's how people talk to you. That's how the demons talk to you. That's how God talks to you. Holy Spirit, they go, hello. So this was Spirit of God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would talk to you. Why am I going to this hospital? I don't believe this. That's because of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes half the things you were told in your mind what to do, it's the Holy Spirit. But you think it's insulting. You think it will embarrass you and all that. You better do what the Holy Spirit tells you. You never hear from them no more kind of thing. But you pray about it. When you get a thought by going to see somebody or whatever that sounds strange to you, you get on your knees and say, Lord, I don't want to be disobedient. So please confirm in my spirit that that's you telling me to go to the hospital. Confirm that's me telling me to give this lady some money, this man some money, okay? Okay, so discerning of spirits help you realize who is speaking those thoughts in your head. Is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it Lord Jesus? Is it the demonic spirit? Is it self? When I say self, self mostly wants you to get involved with some fleshly stuff, fornication, adultery, masturbation, all the other kind of stuff. Okay? All right, so you had the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. I said discerning, that means distinctly trying to figure out who's talking to me. Discerning, what's going on? What's going on here? What's going on here? Discerning means there could be three types talking to you. God the Father can be talking to you sometimes, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Most likely, God the Father and Jesus used to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. But when something tells you to do something, you know it's violent, then that ain't you. And yeah, it could be because your spirit, I mean your fleshly still got its desires. You have to ask the Lord to deliver you from that desire. So that's what you got to do. Okay? All right. You got the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, in the word of spirit, and I'm down to 3 more minutes. All right. You got the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy is a message to strengthen you and encourage you. You know, the child, don't worry about it. The Lord told me to tell you something. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the gift of prophecy, God will use you or somebody else to speak to you or you to speak to somebody else. Okay? And sometimes God may have you speak to a whole group of people. Okay? That's what prophecy. Prophecy means the Lord says, thus says the word of God, thus says the Lord. Prophecy means you're speaking with God, telling you to say to a group of people or to a person. And then you got, down to 2 minutes. The gift of kinds of tongues. Tongues is still relevant. You asked Brother Emmett about that. And when I have more time, I can talk to you about that too. But tongues still relevant. That's the day. And the gift of healing. Some pastors, because they believe they can lay hands at the church and lay somebody who got some sickness, as some lump on their chest and everything, if they pray over them, they go to the doctor gives them a bill of health and say, I don't know what happened, honey, but you don't have that cancer lump anymore. So that's what I want to say. It is now 9:02, and I started at 7. So I want to say God bless each and every one of you. Join. I plan to teach Tuesday night, and I'm going to be teaching on the Great White Throne Judgment. That's where all the unbelief is going. What's going to happen? What's going to be said? And God, me and the Holy Spirit, and working with me, giving me all kind of information and then a lot of stuff he gave me. He showed me the scripture. Because what I be saying, You know, how you know all that? You ain't never been up there. You ain't never been in none of the judges. Well, I know because the Holy Spirit told me.